And I can see the ground now, I'm way too gone, way too gone. All right, legends. Welcome back, dude, to yet another episode of Get Around Me. What a time it is to be alive, truly. And I mean that today much more than I meant it last week. Last week specifically. Last week, the news was kind of horrific and not very pod friendly if you exist in the comedy genre, as I allegedly do. This week, though, I flick on the news and I see what's the bloody goss around town. Top story, Arj Barker ejects baby from show. I read that and just thought, we are back. Back in a big way. Did we ever leave? That's how fucking back we are, dude. We are so back, I'm questioning if we did in fact leave. But rest assured, we did not. Arj Barker's in the news like it's 2007. He's getting dragged in the paper. I mean, what year is it? I feel like newspapers are just back all of a sudden. I've never seen mainstream media rear its head like this. After the Bruce Lerman thing, I think they've got a taste for blood, you know? I think the old broadsheets have got a taste for blood, and this week they have turned their attention to aging comedy superstar, potentially less relevant than ever, but not too irrelevant, to get absolutely harangued by this great nation. It's Arj Barker, a personal hero of mine growing up, and the biggest story of the week, and potentially, to be fair to Arj, a victim of a particularly slow news day. I think if honestly, literally anything happened at all, this Arj Barker baby thing does not even make news.com.au, which has, as we know, a particularly low bar for news. But regardless, we'll get into all of that later. If you think I'm just touching on Arj Barker as we walk into the show, you're out of your mind, dude. I'm going to tell some yarns from the weekend, and then we're going to talk about Arj Barker for potentially time in memoriam. I think there's a genuine situation where next week's episode is delayed because I'm still doing this week's. I think next Thursday rolls around and I'm still analyzing this Arj Barker situation from every angle. And I look forward to doing it today. Also, in this episode, Trend End is back. A famous, famous Get Around Me segment. A segment that took on many different forms at various points throughout its life. We had Trend End, that's where we're ending trends. Then we had Trend Extend, as you can imagine, that's where we're looking to extend said trend. I think we also had Trend Depend, where I wasn't sure if it should extend or end. And really anything that rhymed with the word trend was on the table. So it was a famous Get Around Me segment for quite some time. And I've been going on Triple J a little bit recently, and I've been doing Trend End on the radio. Because you have to come up with a segment. You basically have to come up with a ruse as to why they would have some pelican like me on the radio. So you have to come up with a segment to say, hey, this could be a fun thing and a good excuse to have Billy Darcy on the airwaves. So I've been doing Trend End on Triple J and it has been well received, depending on who you ask, depending on which side of the text line you fall onto. From what I can tell, the key to going on Triple J is just say something mildly divisive, like 1% divisive, and then cut to 3 ASAP Rocky songs. And by the time you come back, the text line will have worked themselves into such a frenzy. And some of the vitriol and some of the support, my God, it's a referendum every 10 minutes on that text line, let me tell you. So I've been doing Trend End on Triple J and I thought, what am I doing? If this is how well it's going on the airwaves, I can only imagine how it's going to be received on Get Around Me, the original home of Trend End. So looking forward to that. That's back. That's back in a big way. Arj Barker's back in a big way. I mean, just to touch on the great man again, if we could get glass half full for a second, if I'm Arj Barker, I'm pretty pumped up about this news. He hasn't been in the news for about 17 years. Last time Arj Barker was in the news, I think I was in year 6. So he'll probably sell out the rest of his tour from this, and more power to him, you know? That's the great thing about stand-up comedy. Never too late. Don't call it a comeback. Even though Arj Barker still plays massive theatres all around the country, don't call it a comeback, okay? He's been in the shadows. Now he's back. Get him on Triple J, you know? Open up the text line to the big fella. Let's see if he can handle the heat. But anyway, I don't want to get too bogged down. Yeah, so I was on Triple J last week doing a bit of trend end with my mate Beck Charwood. Pretty sick. And dude, what about this? I'm not sure. I'm a bit all over the gaff at the start of this one, but Beck was like, we should call someone. We'll do a caller. And I thought, electric, you know? I've had the abuse in the text line. Let me receive the comments from the person, from the horse's mouth, as it were. Let me get in the ring with this person. Let's see if they're as brave in audio form as they are behind the keyboard. And Beck calls up this guy. We were talking about, I can't even remember, talking about something silly. And Beck calls up this guy who wrote like a long text saying, I think this. Beck's like, we'll call him up. We'll get him on the air. I said, you beauty. We call this guy up and he goes, I can't be on the radio right now. I'm about to direct a funeral. I'm so sorry. I mean, brother, if you've got a time to text, do you have a time to call? Like, are they literally walking the coffin down the aisle as this guy's texting in to Triple J Mornings? Like, it was like a 2-page text he sent. It must have been down to the wire on this text. And his attitude was kind of like, why are you calling me right now? I'm obviously doing a funeral. Do you know what I mean? So that was bizarre. And we didn't receive a caller after that. That was as close as we got. Calling a man live, directing a funeral. So I'm not saying I'm like a radio master. I clearly have a lot to learn. And that's kind of an old school showbiz trick. Do not call people while they're directing funerals. So good to be on Triple J. Maybe get me... I mean, when are they going to cut the shit and get me on Drive next year? What's doing, Triple J? You got the East Coast Express here ready to go. To be honest, get in while you can. Get in while I'm still simmering below the surface, proverbially, okay? Get in before the big cats at Nova, Today FM, other egregious mainstream radio stations. Get in before they throw 300K at me to talk about dwarf group sex at 7 a.m. going toe-to-toe with Sydney's King Carl Sanderlands. I'm not above taking the cash. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm not above taking the cash, but I am losing patience. So Triple J, pick up the phone now or I will return Nova969's email. That is a... is that a threat? I don't know. Nova's never emailed me, so it's not really a threat. It's a bluff. It's a massive bluff. It's the biggest bluff of all time. And I've told you I'm bluffing. Oh, no. Sorry, guys. I hope my voice is serviceable. I have no voice left. I've got a mix of podcasting, bit of radio, doing hours of stand-up on the road, and I've also had a bit of a slide back on the Rolly Sig. So my voice is not going so well, and I hope it's serviceable today. But what else is happening, dude? Just a couple of things to touch on before we whip into the week that was. Oh, yeah, so Rebel Wilson's back in the news again. But don't worry, I will not talk about her at length. But what about this? She said Rebel Wilson... Rebel Wilson says she was asked to go to an orgy by a royal billionaire. And obviously, that's a pretty red-hot headline. It's a pretty red-hot claim. It's not as red-hot when you put it against the other things Rebel Wilson has been saying. I'm not sure if this is a memoir or more of a sex journal from Rebel Wilson. I mean, by the way, just quickly, while we're here, she said she lost her virginity at 35. I don't know how old she is. I think she's only like 43 or something. Double check that. I've just made it up. But mate, what about the come? Don't call it a comeback from Rebel. Losing your virginity at 35, straight into 37 orgy with royal billionaires. I mean, I lost my virginity at an age much lower than Rebel's. Much lower. Okay, not that it's a competition, but if this was high school, I would be cooler than her based on who has had more sex. And I'll come clean to the podcast, to you guys, the listeners. I've never once been invited to an orgy with a royal billionaire. And I lost my virginity ages ago, guys. So for Rebel Wilson to lose her virginity and then immediately parlay that into a royal orgy is pretty impressive. And it would give me so much pleasure to continue to talk about Rebel week in, week out. But it's kind of one of those things where, you know when you're just talking about what someone did and it feels like you're talking shit about them? Even though you're actually not. You're just describing what they did or what they said word for word, and it sounds mean. because it's embarrassing what they did. That's kind of what it's like with Rebel. I mean, Rebel's in the news. I want to talk about an Australian icon. But at this point, I kind of feel like I'm just trashing a middle-aged woman week in, week out, even though I am really just talking about exactly what she said and did word for word. So I've got word from the suits upstairs, the bloody cardigans. They've passed it down. No more trashing Rebel Wilson, unfortunately. And the official statement from Get Around Me headquarters is that we wish Rebel Wilson the best. We hope those books are flying off the shelves. We hope the marketing campaign, which has been nothing short of degrading, we hope it's worked, okay? And while personally we have not purchased a book here at Get Around Me, we love being drip-fed the Kyle and Jackie O-style sex stories week in, week out on news.com.au. I mean, God forbid you open a news page to check if Arj Barker's been up to anything on any given week. You will get some of the wildest sex stories from Rebel Wilson, who, like I said previously, not a notoriously sexual person. Completely out of the game till 35. Straight into royal orgy with a billionaire. I mean, losing your virginity straight into a royal orgy, that's kind of like how Alex Pereira came into the UFC and was middleweight champion within three fights. That's kind of a similar thing to what Rebel Wilson has done here. Alex Pereira going double champ status, that's Rebel Wilson coming out as a lesbian releasing the book. I mean, wow. Just two champions. There's no doubt about that. And then one more thing. Man, I really regret how much I'm dragging here. I'm wasting what precious voice I have. One more thing, Robert Irwin, the big fella. The big fella's back. So Robert Irwin, as we know, this is a three-dimensional man with three-dimensional achievements. He's back in the news. He's actually had a snail named after him. A new species of snail has been named after Robert Irwin. I mean, Fashion Week, move over. This guy, TV host, wildlife warrior, conservationist, fashion model. Other things, dude, okay? Other things. Google advocate. Other things. And honestly, all those things can move over because the guy's got a bloody snail named after him, which is pretty cool. The chick named a snail after him after her husband had already named one after Bindi, and she said she felt bad for Rob that he didn't have a snail named after him too. So, little window into the world, little window into the Irwin family. I mean, I can't speak for anyone else. If my brother had a snail named after him, I personally would be fucking furious. That's car park stuff. If you're going to name a freaking snail after Joe Darcy before you name one after Billy Darcy, that's car park stuff immediately. And if you named one after my sister before you named one after either of us, dude, Christmas is cancelled. Cancel the flights to Perth. We're not coming, you know? That's the sort of, that's lawyers. That's lawyers, okay? So good to see that the Irwin family can move forward with each sibling having a snail named after them. And Robert Irwin, quote from the great man, as we know Robert, he's a zany kid and he's got some zany quotes. He said that it's a very exciting time in snail science. No doubt, bruh. No doubt. So that's very, very exciting and it's all happening, dude. But anyway, 14 minutes apparently. I can only apologize for that intro. But let's take a look at the week that was. So I was in Brisbane and Adelaide in the last week. And that time, Rowan was still at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. So Rowan is finally home, thank God. I think he was in Melbourne for 6 years and it's good to have him back. But I was in Brisbane and Adelaide. Thanks so much to everyone who came to the shows. They were so fun. Two in Brisbane, one in Adelaide. Unreal. Both my Brisbane shows were sold out, so I've actually added an extra Brisbane show June 20. Get around that. And then I've got Canberra next Friday, May 3rd. Sydney, May 10. Massive show, Sydney. That's selling quite quickly. Then Newcastle, May 11. And Wollongong, May 25. So get all those tickets via the link in my Instagram bio or the show notes of this podcast. Get around the tour, and then that'll be me done for the year, which is very exciting. So I roll into Brisbane on Thursday, dude, and I'm staying in the Fortitude Valley, the famous valley, yeah? The fucking valley, lads. You know what it is. You know what it is. Don't push me when I'm in the valley because I've got that strut. I've got that skip and the step knowing that I'm in one of the sickest areas the East Coast has to offer. I will say, being in Fortitude Valley during the day as opposed to the night when the pubs are cranking, Rick's is going, this sort of stuff. Not as charming during the day. In fact, at times, genuinely scary. Some of the boys down at the Fortitude Valley train station, they're down. They're not doing well. I don't know if they have access to public health, but some of my boys are not doing well in the valley. And it's kind of like going to King's Cross during the day. It's a bit creepy. I walked past Rick's at like midday. It's kind of like going to school at night. You're like, I shouldn't be here. There's no vibe. You realize, yeah, creepy. Fortitude Valley during the day. There's no cafes around. Don't rate it. Do not rate it at all. Super fun shows. Thursday roll in, sold out, 7 p.m., unreal. Have Alex Milinkovic open, my boy. Great to have him in town. That was just lucky as well. So walk out there, bang. 1 minute into my show, don't even get to do my opener. Bam, guy in the front row gets up, walks out. I don't know what it is about the Brisbane shows, but fuck me, people get up a lot. And this guy walks out 30 seconds into my show. And it's not even the walkout. You've torpedoed the joke on the walkout, but then it's because they got to walk back in as well. So then he comes back in with like a triple-decker burger, torpedoes my opening joke. Whatever, dude. Why would it matter? The opening joke isn't just, you know, it's not just laying a bedrock of foundation for the next hour. It's not important at all. Don't worry. I'll dig my way out of this hole. So got through that. Thursday and Friday, they were both really fun shows. And thank you so much to the people of Brisbane. I love touring to Brisbane. I'm not going to mince words. You guys know I love that town. Friday, I did the Bloody Brilliant Beers podcast, which is like, I think like one of the biggest podcasts in Australia. It, definitely Queensland. I feel like it's a very Queensland-centric pod. But also maybe I've just made that up. I think it's maybe more of a rugby league-centric pod. I'm not sure. But it's a Bloody Brilliant pod with Bloody Brilliant blokes. And I've known Josh, one of the co-hosts, for years. So we've been meaning to do the podcast for ages. It's out now. And fuck, it's a good podcast. You know, I'm not really a good podcast host, but fuck me, I'm a good guest. I honestly think I'm probably the best podcast guest in Australia. Double check that. I've just made it up. But Jesus Christ, I'm an electric guest. So get around that. It's a massive pod. So hopefully that boosts a couple of numbers for the Brisbane show or the rest of the tour. Friday night, the show was going great guns. And dude, got heckled by this absolute pelican. It was so funny. I was talking about mornings or something. I got this bit about mornings, which not particularly provocative. Not anything that would require crowd intervention. And this guy just goes, talk about cyclists. You know? You know how people just want to trash cyclists? Potentially an undercover Isaac Butterfield fan. And unfortunately, I just don't feel as passionately about cyclists as the Buttsman. I don't swing from the hip as aggressively as the great man. So had to surf and turf that heckler, which people just love. People just love when you surf and turf a bloke. Hey, you could work on material for 7 years, pour your blood, sweat, and tears into it, you know. I don't know, talk about whatever, do some wild referendum shit. No one, well, they like it, but they'll never like it as much as you just calling some bloke a dumb cunt. So absolutely surf and turfed a bloke in the Friday show, which was good. Hung out with everyone after. One of the lads gave me a joint the size of my head. He was like, Bill, you want to blaze this outside? I was like, I do. And then he handed it over. I think this joint was like, I want to say it was like wider than it was long. It was kind of like shaped like a boost bar or something. I don't know. Maybe a can of deodorant, a drink bottle. Just think of things that are too big to be a joint. I mean, it was just the widest thing I've ever seen. I was like, mate, I'm going to be talking to a telegraph pole if I smoke this now. I'm here to be social. So we held off on that one. We held off on that one till a little later on. And a bit of a ragamuffin crew. We had some people from the show. We had Alex. We had a couple of my mates. We went to Lefty's, which is like across from the club in Brisbane. It's like kind of this country music bar. Dude, it was so sick. They had like 50-year-old guys just ripping on guitar. And I love it when you see like 50-year-old guys ripping it up as a band because you know they've been ripping it up for 30 years. I put a lot of stock in when I see a 50-year-old guy doing something because I'm like, man, this guy's about this. He's been doing it for ages. It's like if a 50-year-old guy is like a piece of shit to me, I have zero tolerance because I go, you've probably been a cunt for 4 decades and I hate that, you know? So great to see some old blokes just whipping around town on an electric guitar. They were doing these whiskey apples at Lefty's, which were pretty cool. Basically, it's a whiskey apple, right? Whiskey apple juice. But, right? But they juice the apples in front of you. So like every whiskey apple, the guy's just feeding apples into this juice machine. And I think he was getting pissed off with me because, you know, you post show, man about town, I've got $75 in my bank account. I'm whipping around, okay? So I'm going up there. I'm like, another six whiskey apples. And this guy's giving me a look like, if you order another whiskey apple, I'm going to flog you, you little piece of shit, you know? It's like 20-minute round trip on these whiskey apples for the big fella. So sorry about that. Sorry about that. And it was a super fun night and kept it reasonably... we're out pretty late, to be honest, out till like 2 or 3. Went to the Caxton after, the famous Caxton. Apparently, if you want to see Queensland origin legends just dance naked on a pool table, you can see Alfie Langer do that 3 times a year. So the Caxton is a famous rugby league pub. They don't have Carlton Draft on tap, which I find to be absolutely egregious. How can any East Coast pub not have Carlton Draft on tap? If you're a pub. Do you know what I mean? If you're like a weird, like Lefty's didn't have Carlton Draft on tap, no one gives a fuck. You know what I mean? They got blokes on the guitar. But if you're a pub, if you're a pub that prides itself on being a pub and you don't have Carlton Draft on tap, I just have a hard time with that sort of stuff as far as like the identity you're pushing out into the world. And this is the sort of thing where if I was the face of Carlton Draft, this would be eradicated. There would not be a pub on the East Coast not stocking the good stuff if you give Billy Darcy the 100K. I'm demanding, okay? Right now, I got Triple J and Carlton Draft, and I am at the negotiating table with both of them. I'm not telling people how to negotiate, but my issue is that Carlton and Triple J don't know they're negotiating with me. But I know I'm negotiating with them, and guess what, guys? I'm playing hardball. So up the price or I walk. I'm not afraid to be sponsored by Tui's New and Go Work at Today FM. But I tell you what, my patience is growing thin. Anyway, so out pretty late Friday in Brisbane, wake up Saturday, bam, make my flight to Adelaide. And everyone knows I talk shit about Adelaide, dude. It's one of my trademarks. I'm the face of Carlton Draft. I host Drive on Triple J and I trash Adelaide. That's kind of what I'm known for. I will say, dude, flying into Adelaide after being on Caxton Street in Brisbane for a couple of nights, you get to Adelaide and it's just peaceful. The streets are wide. It was like 17 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. And you just take a breath. So I did appreciate that part of Adelaide. God, it's a quiet town. And when you're in the mood for a quiet town, good place to be. So I whip in Adelaide. Dude, this is so funny. I feel like I'm dragging too much because this is the best story of the whole thing. Anyway, so I get an Uber from the Adelaide airport. I get a Didi, I should say. Now, that's not going to seem relevant until it does. I get a Didi. Guy pulls up, you know, white guy, 50, 40, handlebar mustache, earrings, like crusty demon's hat backwards, speed dealers. Got a little Hyundai. Get in the back of this thing. You beauty. Got a bit of a character behind the wheel. Looking forward to it. Anyway, literally, we start driving for about 1 second and we're in the Uber pickup bay at the Adelaide airport. An Uber driver like is pulling out nowhere near this guy and he goes, fuck, what about these pricks, mate? Their job is to drive and they don't know how to fucking do it. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, aren't you an Uber driver as well? And then I'm like, okay, strap in, Bill. Here we go. So like this bloke's immediately into an immigrant, like off the rip. And I'm like, ah, yeah, don't know, mate, whatever. And then he pulls out and he goes, yeah, they're unsafe drivers, mate. I go, yeah, I think taxi drivers are worse than Uber drivers. You know, just trying to, I don't know. I don't know what's happening really, but he's off. Okay. This bloke's off and he's off whether I'm off with him or not. So I go, oh, I reckon taxi drivers are worse, mate. What about that? And he goes, nah, that's your experience, mate. I'm talking about my experience. And he's like really serious. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. I go, aren't you an Uber driver? And he goes, I only work for Didi. He goes, I will never work for Uber again in my life. They are scum. And I go, right. I go, what's happened there, man? He goes, well, I worked for Uber for 6 weeks. They terminated my account. I am no longer allowed to work for them. And we're just pulling out of the airport. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude, what am I in for here? And he goes, they drive recklessly, the Uber drivers. They drive all hours of the night. They fall asleep at the wheel. Me personally, in the last year and a half working for DD after Uber, I've prevented 7 motor vehicle accidents. And I said, oh, wow. And he goes, the first one? And he starts rattling off these motor vehicle accidents. He goes, the first one, I was driving down Parkway Street at around 4 a.m. And I just think this is funny. He kept being so specific with the street names. And it's like, you've picked me up from the airport. I don't know. He's like, so I'm driving down St. Gregory Lane, 4 a.m., taking a rider to the airport. Uber driver to my right starts swerving into my lane. I honk my horn. I wake him up. He was asleep at the wheel. If I don't wake him up, he kills him. He kills his passenger. He kills me. He kills my passenger. And I go, oh my God, mate, Jesus Christ, that's pretty full on. He goes, 2 weeks later, I'm driving down Parkway Lane, 6 p.m. There is not much traffic, though traditionally that is a high traffic area. And he just starts rattling off these stories. And it's just, it's a lot to take in. It's a lot to take in. Have you ever gotten an Uber where the guy starts telling you about all the crashes he's been in recently? Like, do you know what I mean? Are you even trying for 5 stars, brother? And he said the reason he got banned, from Uber, which I kind of felt bad for him about, was he said, he got banned from Uber because he went to pick up this lady and she was like a meth addict and she was trying to move house using Uber. So he rocks up and the chick's got like a desk and a chair and a mattress and like a fucking a suitcase and all this shit. And she put all this stuff into his car and he's like, what the fuck? And then I guess she skitzed out and forgot she put it in there or something. She thought he was stealing her stuff. And then she starts filming him being like, your dog, give me back all my shit. And he's like, you put it in the car. And then so this meth head put all her stuff in his car, freaked out, forgot she put it in there, starts filming him saying, stop stealing my stuff, your dog, and then complained to Uber and he was banned for life from Uber, like 6 weeks into the job. So I don't even know, dude. Do you know what I mean? It's not that far from the airport to where I'm staying. It's like 15 minutes, dude. Wild 15 minutes. And I mean, shout out to that guy. He was one of these guys where as soon as the doors locked, he was just off on his one-man show about the crashes he's prevented and all this stuff. The funniest thing was, you know when someone brags and they think it's a brag, but I don't think it's a brag? It's one of my favorite things in the world when someone thinks they're bragging. He goes, a lot of these new Uber drivers, mate, they have just moved to this country. They have not, they've got their license via a piece of paper. They have not done the relevant driver training, which, you know, for all I know, might be true. He goes, me on the other hand, mate, I had to get my L's, get my P's, as any Australian does. He goes, couple that with my 47 years driving Adelaide roads, of course I'm a safer driver. And it just was so funny to me, a guy bragging about driving the Adelaide roads for 47 years. Do you know what I mean? Like, of course you've driven, like you live here. Are you bragging, saying I've lived here for 47 years? Like, I don't know. It was just a weird thing. And he gave me a look like, am I right? That's how qualified I am. And I was like, oh, mate, 47 years. Well, mate, speaks for itself. There's no doubt about that. Anyway. So then I get to the Hotel Metropolitan, which is where I'm staying. And this is just a little tidbit, but when I booked this, I thought it was a hotel. Like a crap hotel, but I thought it was a hotel. I rock up, it's a pub. Fully staying in a pub. It's just me and FIFO workers upstairs. So funny. And I don't even mind. It was a beautiful old pub. And it was one of those pubs where it has the balcony that wraps around the corner. It was a beautiful old corner Australian pub. Adelaide's got some beautiful buildings as well. The wide streets. I was across from Federal Hall. The market's there. Oh my God. You're staying across from the markets in Adelaide. The central markets or whatever you call them. On a beautiful corner pub. On the balcony with the AirPods in. Having a beer. Wow. So anyway, I go downstairs at this pub. And I want to just have one beer before my show. and go over my notes, as is my right. And so I go to the guy, I go, one pint of Cooper's Green, please, mate. Obviously, I'm in Adelaide. Doesn't take a genius to work this out. One pint of the good stuff. One pint of your state's legacy, sir. Hook it to my fucking veins, cunt, you know? I love Cooper's Green. Second to Carlton Draft. I'm a pig for it, dude. I love Cooper's Green. Anyway, the guy starts pouring me a schooner. And I said, excuse me, sir. I actually said a pint. And he goes, I heard you. Continues pouring the schooner. Now, if you're from Adelaide, you obviously know where this is going. I only go to Adelaide once or twice a year. Obviously, I forgot the system. I said, mate, I'm so sorry. I said pint. And it's awkward where I'm thinking, is this guy hearing me? Is he understanding what I'm saying? And he looks up at me and he goes, where are you from, mate? And the attitude dripping off this bloke. The where are you from, the huh? Like, oh, it's making my blood boil just thinking about it. And I said, I'm from Sydney. And he goes, oh, that explains it. And I've forgotten the bloody system in Adelaide, that in Adelaide, a pint is a schooner. And if you want an actual pint, you have to order an imperial pint. Whatever, dude. Adelaide, do your thing. Okay, obviously, I've trashed Adelaide enough over the years. And I've trashed Adelaide for a lot of stuff that's like vibes based. This is actually something that deserves to be trashed. Like, and you know what? Okay. Do your thing, Adelaide. Have the imperial pint. Have it. That's absolutely fine. But when someone from another city, another state, comes to your city in good faith, yeah, I'm here in good faith. I've paid for my own ticket to come to Adelaide. Sorry, I've forgotten that it's called an imperial pint here. Because this is the only place where it's called that, and it's a completely ridiculous concept. Maybe when someone asks for a pint and they've gotten it wrong because they don't live in this irrelevant city, maybe don't fucking surf and turf the cunt up immediately, dripping in attitude. I'm about to do an hour of stand-up comedy. I've got a lot on my mind, and I need a full pint, okay? I don't care if you call it a SpongeBob SquarePants cunt. Whatever receptacle, whatever name, make it happen and leave the attitude at the door. So I was mugged senseless by this bloke. Just where are you from? I wanted to lean over and put my nose to his and say, somewhere relevant, you little cunt. Now get me a pint, okay? Sorry for the vitriol, but I'm just sort of PTSDing out. And anyway, so I have my schooner. I have my schooner, I'm mugged senseless, I walk to the gig. Mate, Adelaide's a weird town because it is just a massive country town. It's a beautiful city, no one's there. I'm walking around before the show, I'm like, I just need like a sausage roll or like a sandwich, a muesli bar, just something to eat, but not a full meal. I don't want to have a full meal before the show. And mate, I'm walking around, convenience stores are closed at 6 p.m. on a Saturday. Convenience stores, they're supposed to be open all the time. In fact, their number one selling point is the convenience. So I'm walking past convenience stores at like 6 p.m. on a Saturday. Had to whip all over town. I ended up having like two muesli bars and a protein bar or something weird. Could not get my hands on a Sambo to save myself. Not a 7-Eleven in sight. Okay? So whatever. Show's super fun. Thank you to everyone who came to Adelaide. I know I always bitch and moan about the ticket sales, but I tell you what, it's another fun one in the books and good to hang out with everyone after. The lads who came out in Adelaide come out every year. So great to see the boys again and formed a bit of a crew, went to the pub after. My auntie and uncle came to the show, which was nice of them as well. Yeah, dude. So we're at the pub with a few of the lads. Shout out to all the boys. And me and one of the lads, Liam, are playing pool against these two blonde girls, okay? Not to brag, but we're talking to two women, okay? Honestly, I don't even know how we started talking to them, but looking back, I remember specifically that Liam was going better with his girl than I was going with mine. My girl was, she was a wild gal. She was a cancer doctor. I don't know, maybe my crowd work skills had switched off for the night, but I wasn't able to come up with any zany comments about that, so we had a cancer doctor and the other girl was an ICU nurse. And we're chatting away or whatever. And then Liam goes to the girls. All right, then, cancer doctor, ICU nurse, which one of you is a bigger hero, do you think? And the cancer doctor is like, oh, me for sure. And the ICU nurse is like, I don't know, like I'm actually with the patients a lot more and I'm in the ICU, that's pretty big. And then the cancer doctor, excuse me, she goes, yeah, well, my mum had cancer. I saved her fucking life. So how about you fuck off? And gets so angry and leaves. They both left after that. So strikeout city, shout out Liam. Shout out Liam from Adelaide. Turns out if you are trying to hit on two medical professionals, you should not attempt to rank which one of them is a bigger hero. So good, dude. And anyway, hung out with the lads all night and went to a bottle-o at 1 a.m, which blew my mind. One of the lads, TC, is like, we'll go to a bottle-o at like 1 a.m. I'm sorry, but if a bottle-o is open past 9 p.m. in Sydney, the New South Wales police will bomb it. Drone strikes will come in if a Liquorland is open at 9:05 in Sydney. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's SWAT team stuff on the East Coast. So I was blown away by that and the freedoms the people of Adelaide are afforded. Very exciting. It was just such a fun night hanging out with the lads. Ended up in a garage at 3 a.m. talking about Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson. So it just goes to show that wherever you go, there you are. And that was the case in Adelaide. Sorry, guys. I've got a serious fuck up here. I've made a genuine mistake. What's happened here is Trend End was supposed to come back today. I was going to say Trend End Imperial Pints. Trend End Imperial Pints. Let's standardize this system across this great nation. It should be middies and or pots for your middie. I mean, really, it should just be middies. Then your middle glass is your schooner and your pint is your pint, okay? Let's get rid of the Imperial Pint bullshit. And while we're there, Adelaide, let's get rid of the attitude as well. So Trend End Imperial Pints. And moreover, Trend End having different names for glasses in different states. You know, you fly 45 minutes in Australia and ask for a beer and the guy's like, what are you even talking about? It's like, mate, we were barely in the air. Is a beer still not called a beer? Sort it out. So Trend End, different states having different names for beers. And I forgot that was supposed to be the Trend End. So sorry about that. The producer's going to get it. Billy Darcy edits and produces this thing. And if I was him, I'd be shitting myself. But anyway, let's talk about what we're here to talk about. Arj Barker, Australian comedy superstar, is in the news. If you're not familiar, if you're living under a goddamn rock, I would like to preface this story by saying that I do believe that Arj Barker is a victim of one of the slowest news days in Australian history. I cannot believe this blew up to the extent it did. And honestly, well, let's get into it. So if you're not aware, Arj Barker performs stand-up comedy, as is his job, right? Providing this great nation with laughs. That is Arj Barker's job. He was doing that job the other night. He had a mother with her baby in the show. It's like a 700-person theatre, the Athenaeum in Melbourne. The baby starts crying, interrupts the show. Arj Barker makes a couple of jokes about it. The baby continues to interrupt the show. Now, the mum was allegedly breastfeeding, which apparently Arj couldn't see, but it's an important detail. And Arj Barker politely asks the mum to leave with her baby. The mother is humiliated, her words. And then obviously the thing that made this a lot worse is that as the mum was walking out, a few blokes up the back of the show start yelling, you know, get the fuck out, shut the fuck up, this sort of stuff, giving her some abuse on the way out. So a lot to unpack here. Where to begin? So basically, the reason this blew up online is that most people are like, hey, you shouldn't bring a baby to a comedy show. And then a lot of mums are like, what are we supposed to live under a rock? We can never leave the house again. Is that what you're saying? And it's like, no one said that. Absolutely no one said that. Not now, not ever. And I'd like to start by saying I am anti-baby in this situation. You cannot bring a baby to a comedy show. It's not anything personal against babies. I don't want you to bring a dog to my comedy show. I don't want you playing Game Boy in the comedy show. I don't want you bringing a Bluetooth speaker. Anything that is not you sitting there in complete silence, do not bring, do not do, do not activate. Anything that interrupts the show has to go. That's that. And, you know, it's Arch Barker. He's a big deal. People are probably paying $4,000 a ticket or whatever. It's a 700-person theater. It's everyone else's night out. They don't want the show interrupted. Okay? Any noise has to go. I will say, though, I can understand the optics are poor because you got Arj Barker telling this breastfeeding mum with her newborn baby to get the fuck out, and then all these blokes up the back being like, yeah, bitch, get out. Like, the optics are poor. And I can see how if you were a mum and you were fed this headline that Arj Barker, like, physically assaults breastfeeding mother, that you would be typing away in the comments without needing any further information. So I understand that as well. I will say that any sympathy you or me may have had for the mum in this situation, long gone after this mum has been doing a fucking media tour all week. I mean, this chick's on the project. She's on A Current Affair. They're talking about it on Hack, on Triple J. I mean, babe, what's the goss? What's the goss with this? You seem a little too keen to do the media rounds. Can someone check if this chick has a podcast, if she's selling homemade jams and jellies? I don't know. Little too keen for the media tour. And the funniest part is that she went on the project and she went on A Current Affair with the baby, and both times the baby ruined the interview, really proving Arj Barker's point. And then the funniest thing is, sorry, there's so much to unpack here. The funniest thing is the project host, Sarah, whatever her name is, she got slammed because she said during the interview, do you mind if the baby maybe sits with dad while we do this interview? And then everyone's into her saying, what? What, mums with newborn babies can't do interviews on live television? What, a new mum supposed to just sit at home in the dark, never leave the house? And once again, no one said that. No one's ever said that, okay? If someone does say that, it will be made apparent to you, okay? No one's saying that. This argument that it's like, what, so I can't go to the park? So I can't go to the shops? So I should just stay at home with my baby and kill myself? No. In fact, this is one of the extremely specific scenarios where you can't bring a newborn baby. It's one of the only scenarios, really. You can take them to a music concert. You can take them literally anywhere else except a show where complete silence is required. And a mate of mine in Melbourne, she was saying that she had a baby in her show and the baby was actually extremely well behaved, which leads me to think maybe full circle. Don't blame the mum. Don't blame Arj. Don't blame the pricks up the back. Don't blame the theatre who never should have let her in the first place. Really, full circle moment. I think this is the baby's fault. I think if the baby could shut the fuck up, we wouldn't be in this mess, you know? I think if this baby had a little bit of theatre etiquette, I think if this baby had a bit more reverence for the arts, maybe if this baby lived through the early 2000s when Arj Barker was more relevant, maybe we're not in this whole mess. So I think, long story short, the baby's got to go. It's the baby's fault, you know? Don't blame the mum. Don't blame anyone else. I think the baby's really proved Arj's point in these interviews. And I tell you what adds another layer to this is that Arj Barker has been doing the rounds and he's like getting rattled by television hosts and radio hosts. He's getting like arguments, looking frazzled about this. Honestly, I think it's not a big deal at all. This happened yesterday. I guarantee my podcast comes out on Thursday. I'm recording this on Wednesday. I'll be surprised if you guys even give a fuck about what I'm saying by the time this comes out. And the funniest thing is that Arj Barker still thinks it's like 2007, where if you get attacked in the papers, you have to go on the Today Show and have Karl Stefanovic hold you over the flames in front of the whole nation to absolve your sins. Brother, this is 2024. Do you know what I mean? Just wait for Abby Chatfield to go for a coffee in Bondi and you will be pushed down the homepage, brother. The news cycle is every 7 seconds. This guy's agent sending him out to get fucking flamed out by all the radio and telly hosts like it's 20 years ago is so funny. Arj Barker's like getting in an argument with like fucking Fifi Box or some shit. Dude, Arj Barker in an argument with Fifi Box. I'll say it again. What year is it, dude? This is crazy. Oh, my Lord. I just think, honestly, this poor baby. Do you know what I mean? Did anyone ask the baby if the baby's even into Arj Barker? Maybe the baby's like me, kind of preferred the old stuff. Maybe the baby's there going, I don't know, doesn't hit the same. I liked Arj when he was a little sillier, smoking a little more weed, you know? He's a little jaded these days. Maybe the baby's thinking these things. And God forbid, did anyone ask the baby, if they want to go on a fucking media tour? Did anyone ask the baby if they want to go on the project? I mean, I don't know. I think that Arj Barker's in the right. I think the baby shouldn't have been at the show. I empathize with the mum getting abused on the way out. And I think the mum doing a media tour afterwards is extremely suspect and a little bit ridiculous. That's what I think about that. I think maybe literally, if I said this to my mate, I said, I think everyone in the story is at fault. Literally everyone. Arj Barker, the blokes up the back, the mum, the baby, the theatre staff, the radio host, Karl Stefanovic. Everyone involved in this story is at fault in some way. It's a whodunit where the answer is fucking everyone because this is dumb. Okay, yeah, so I was going to do Trend End up next, but I sort of accidentally did it before because I got off on that Imperial Pint story. I don't even know. So whatever, dude, I just want to talk briefly about this Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia fight. Then I want to do the project, and then that's it. So Devin Haney fights Ryan Garcia on Sunday in a boxing match. Now, you're probably thinking, Bill, you don't give a fuck about boxing. Great point, guys. It's a great point. And I appreciate you guys knowing me on such a three-dimensional level. I don't give a fuck about boxing. Why is that, though? Why is that? Because I have enjoyed boxing in the past, and I do tune into it as a combat sports fan. I was so close to being a boxing fan like 2 years ago. I just watched Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury 3. George Kambosos has just chinned Teofimo Lopez and was undisputed at 135 pounds. I was fucking ready to go. I was hovering over the edge of the boxing fandom cliff. And then Devin Haney was fighting George Kambosos for all the belts in Melbourne. Wow. All four belts on the line, undisputed, Australian defending them. God. I even went to visit George Kambosos' gym to drop off Macca's painting with him. I met the great man in his camp. That's how ravenous I was, dude. And then I watched Devin Haney fight George Kambosos, not once but twice, for 24 rounds of jab, jab, hug, jab, jab, hug, jab, jab, hug. Completely unwatchable boxing. So boring. Oh, God, it sucked. Devin Haney ruined the two biggest boxing fights of my life. The first George Kambosos fight with Devin Haney, I was so excited. And then jab, jab, hug, jab, jab, hug. So I hate Devin Haney. I hate Devin Haney for the boring fights. And he's on the mic after with his dad talking all this shit. I don't know why his dad's always talking. And so I was tuning in to hopefully see Devin Haney get chinned. And my God, was I pleasantly surprised. Because boxing is so weird, dude. It's just a weird thing to try and get into. They're so bad at the trash talk. They're both wearing like bulletproof vests at the face-off. Ryan Garcia's, they just scream at each other. Ryan Garcia said, "Where's your bitch mum at?" Because I think Devin Haney's mum left him at a young age. So, I mean, sure. If that's how you want to operate. Guy's mum leaves him when he's seven. Where's your bitch mum at? I mean, whatever, dude. I don't even know what you guys think banter is in America. Americans have such a crap grasp on what banter is. They're either like, what's going on here, cowboy? Or shooting you in the face. They have no idea what banter is. They're not even close to it. Oh, that's the other thing. Yeah, they have their dads come with them to the press conferences. Their dads are shouting at each other. Like, what? Why is your dad here? Devin Haney's dad is always trying to get in the spotlight, trying to like overshadow his son, talking shit on behalf of his son. It's like, God, this is lame. Devin Haney and his dad are so lame. So Ryan Garcia is having all these weird mental health outbursts before the fight. He's drinking, he's showing up drunk. Everyone's saying he's going to get killed. And he walks in there and drops Devin Haney like 8 times. They only counted 3 knockdowns. It was like 7. And Ryan Garcia just basically ran over him. It was so sick. The rounds that Devin Haney won, and it was a close fight. Devin Haney won like 5 of the rounds or whatever. But the rounds that Devin Haney won were, as per unwatchable, Devin Haney is just shooting double leg takedowns the whole fight. Jab, jab, hug. The guy's a disgrace to the sport. He's never going to get a casual fan like me involved. And basically, Ryan Garcia showed that Yeah, Devin Haney's an unbelievable boxer, but the guy has absolute pillow hands and a questionable chin. So just stand in the pocket and just give it to him. And that's exactly what Ryan Garcia did. So I enjoyed it thoroughly. Ryan Garcia made $50 million from the fight, which is hilarious. If you walk down the street and ask anyone who Devin Haney is, no one will know who he is. Meanwhile, UFC fighters are celebrating $300,000 bonuses. And I feel like they're much bigger stars. I mean, Max Holloway got $600,000 for doing the greatest thing the UFC has ever seen. And Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney are making $50 million each. I mean, the UFC is broken. What is the difference between Jeff Bezos and Dana White? They're both running sweatshops, from what I can tell. So, great to see Devin Haney get chinned. Ryan Garcia, I mean, don't really know much about him, but he seems like a kook who can throw hands, which I'm always in for. So I really enjoyed the fight. Didn't enjoy the build-up. Boxing's weird. I'm trying to be a fan, and I'll continue to try. Now, up next, I'd just like to do The Project. The Project is the segment where we celebrate Australian talent killing it here and abroad. Now, this is a send-in, and I hope I get this guy's name right. He is Tanzanian-born, I believe, but resides in Australia now, plays for Adelaide United. He's only 18, Nesta Irinkunda. And I hope I pronounced that correctly. Dude, get on this train, right? He's just turned 18. He scored 8 goals in 16 games this year for Adelaide United and has just been signed to Bayern Munich. He's heading off to Bayern Munich in like 2 months. He didn't even get picked for the Oli Roos, the Australian under-23s Olympic soccer team, and they did not make the Olympics, the Oli Roos. So if there was ever a time, my God, the Matildas are going to be the absolute centerpiece of the upcoming Olympics. But regardless, dude, just turned 18, Nestor. Nestor Irinkunda. Again, I shudder to think how good my pronunciation is, but I hope that's not so bad. He played for the Adelaide Croatia Raiders before Adelaide United, which is hilarious to me. I think you're not allowed to do that in the New South Wales Premier League anymore with the teams because all the Croatians and the Serbs were just stabbing each other so much. But regardless, fresh 18-year-old gun, Australian, headed to Bayern Munich, future Socceroo star. Get all around this kid, dude. Look forward to seeing him. When is the next World Cup for the men? 2026? Double check that. I've just made it up. But this kid and Qual, oh my God, we have some genuine talent coming through and it's very exciting. So shout out, dude. That is The Project for this week. That is the podcast for this week. Rowan Arneil, not on the podcast this week, but Rowan is doing the Sydney Comedy Festival next week, May 2nd to May 5th. Rowan Arneil, top of the food chain. Go and get those tickets via the link in his Instagram bio. He's just done it 13 times in Melbourne. The bloke's on fire. You're going to absolutely love it. So get those tickets via Rowan's bio. And then, yeah, my tour, I've got Canberra May 3rd, Sydney May 10th, Newcastle May 11th, Wollongong May 25th, and then an extra Brisbane show June 20th. You can get all those tickets via the link in my Instagram bio or the show notes of this podcast. My voice was a little bit dodgy at times through that one, so hope you're enjoying it loud and clear. Thanks for the memories, etc., dude, and thanks for listening. Way too long, yeah, and I can see the ground now, way too long.